Bills are going from Pittsburgh to Pittsburgh this week. Pittsburgh for practice tomorrow, 8 a.m. You're welcome to attend. No ticket necessary. Just show up. And then down to the Berg tomorrow night. We'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from downtown Pittsburgh. Getting set to watch preseason game number 3. Of course, a lot of people have this date circled on their calendar. Sunday, September 14th, the Bills' home opener against the Miami Dolphins. We like to check in with our cousins around the AFC East on a regular basis. And joining us on the line right now, we welcome Chris Perkins, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Chris, thanks for doing this. We always appreciate when you come on with us, and we appreciate it much tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, John, always a pleasure to come on there, man. I enjoy the city of Buffalo, as you know. I told you I got relatives there, so I got love for Buffalo.
You're probably going to have to come up with some tickets for September 14th, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, I probably am.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting that.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? I see the report tonight that Brady Quinn is going to be signed to a contract by the Dolphins.
Yeah, and you know, there's some. You know, we asked Joe Philbin this afternoon if he could say that Matt Moore was going to be his backup quarterback, and he said, it's a little bit too early to say for certain, which kind of raised some eyebrows. We'll see what happens here. If Brady Quinn is going to be the number two quarterback, number three quarterback, but it's an interesting development.
What happened with Matt Moore? I always thought he was a more than capable backup quarterback.
Yeah, and Matt Moore, you know, he's a guy who, you know, you always thought that he was one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL, and I know that he's going to be making $4 million this year. He had a shoulder problem earlier in camp. He missed some time last week, but he was out there throwing today. He looked fine, so we'll see. We'll see, but. Yeah, a little bit surprising, though. I always thought Matt Moore, of all the people on that team, had his job locked up.
Yeah, very interesting. We're talking with Chris Perkins, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. I would not think that Ryan Tannehill has anything to worry about. And in fact, he had a pretty good first outing, even in a losing effort against Atlanta the other night, huh?
Yeah, he was sharp, you know. And here's the thing that you saw out there, really, is that Bill Lazor, the new offensive coordinator, the former Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach, he developed Nick Foles last year. He's bringing in an offense to the Dolphins that spreads the field and relies a lot on tempo. And the Dolphins have said in the past that they wanted to play fast, but they are actually doing it now. They're out of the huddle. They're up to the line of scrimmage. There's pre-snap motion. Like I said, they're spreading the field, and the ball is coming out of Ryan Tannehill's hand fast into the hands of the playmakers, and hopefully for the Dolphins, you know, what they've designed is that it's one move on somebody because you're one-on-one in space, and then you beat him and you're off to a 10 or 12-yard gain. And the other thing that does is it minimizes the importance of that offensive line and their deficiency in pass blocking. Hmm. So far, so good. We'll see if this holds up, but the look of it early in training camp and on Friday against Atlanta was pretty good.
You know, I guess we never talked about this, Chris, but when the Dolphins had Tannehill and they brought in Mike Sherman to be offensive coordinator, the deal was, you know, he was Tannehill's college coach, right? And that was going to
right.
He was the guy who was going to tailor that offense around Ryan Tannehill. So how does Tannehill fit into Bill Lazor's offense? And what happened to the chemistry he had with Sherman?
Well, Mike Sherman's offense just wasn't creative enough. You know, Mike Wallace, the wide receiver, stayed planted on the right side. He never moved. He never went in motion. He was there. The defense always knew where he was going to be, so they could plan for that. Now you're seeing things such as Mike Wallace going in motion, other guys going in motion to create some mismatches. You're seeing Ryan Tannehill use his athleticism a little bit more on some rollouts and some read options. It's a more creative offense that Bill Lazor is bringing. And so far, it's been a good fit for Ryan Tannehill. Now, you know, a lot of what we've seen so far, I will caution it by this, has been short and intermediate passes. And, you know, last season, Tannehill had a problem throwing deep to Mike Wallace. And it wasn't Mike Wallace. It was errant passes. They were short. They were long. They were out of bounds. So this offense is good for what it's done right now. And that's just kind of show itself. But if the Dolphins really need to score, if they're, you know, down by 10 with 6 minutes to go, we'll see if Tannehill can both throw deep and if he can get the pass protection that he needs to have enough time to throw deep. But so far so good with this offense.
Hey, Chris, I would imagine, even though it's limited work so far, that you touched on this a minute ago, a lot of eyes are going to be focused on that newly constituted offensive line that Miami has this year, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's a zone-blocking scheme, which is what they used under Mike Sherman, but now they think that they have better fits for the scheme. Last year, they still had a lot of Tony Sperano guys, the former Dolphin coach, obviously, and he had road graders. You know, he had big, heavy guys who were run blockers. Now they're hoping that they have more agile guys to move around a little bit more. Still remains to be seen how good they are. They allowed 58 sacks last year, and it wasn't totally the fault of the offensive line. Tannehill had held the ball a couple of times too long. Running backs and tight ends missed some blocks, but predominantly offensive line. That's why they made the change. And by the way, speaking of offensive line, you know, Mike Pouncey did tell our paper, the Sun Sentinel, that he thinks that he would be healthy enough to play in the season opener. Now, wow. Nobody thinks that that's going to happen. You know, he had the hip surgery in his left labrum. But he's doing more out there in rehab. So if they can get Pouncey back earlier than expected, maybe second, third week, maybe, and you have Brandon Albert, the Pro Bowl left tackle out there, that helps the offensive line tremendously.
Hey, Chris, the news on the defensive side of the ball has mostly been off the field the last few weeks with the suspension of Rashad Jones announced last week, and Deion Jordan's going to be out for four games. That's a big hit. I mean, those are two of the better defenders on that roster, right?
Yeah, definitely. Rashad Jones is a veteran, and they just signed him last year to the four-year $30 million contract, $15 million guaranteed. And, you know, what I thought was interesting was that we asked Rashad after the game, did you think about appealing the ruling? And he said, no, there was no reason. There was no need to, which, you know, tells me he knows that he was caught. So Joe Philbin been very frustrated because Rashad is a veteran. You know, Deion Jordan, you know, we did see him put on 15 pounds of muscle during the offseason, which I'm not saying that, you know, he used PEDs to do it. But he did do that, and maybe because he's a young player, he used something that was forbidden. But Rashad Jones is a veteran. He should know, you know, to get his stuff checked out, whatever he's using. So, the bottom line is they are going to be without two key defensive players. And, you know, the defense, one disappointment was the tackling. Very poor tackling out there against Atlanta. And the other disappointment, they weren't disruptive. No sacks, no quarterback hurries, no turnovers.
Well, Chris, you know, it's the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets, all three of these teams hoping to somehow, you know, mount a challenge to the Patriots in the AFC East. Which one do you think is most likely to do it this year?
You know, there's been a lot of talk around about that, and a lot of people have said it's all going to depend on whose quarterback plays the best. And I could kind of agree with that, except I think the Dolphins are better off hoping that the defense leads the way. Tannehill is going to be improved, but I don't know how much better he's going to be. So it is a quarterback league, and I think that, you know, a lot of it is going to come down to quarterback play for the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins, but I think for the Dolphins' sake, they better hope that the defense leads them to the playoffs, because I'm not real sure that offensive line is going to allow Tannehill to do a whole lot.
Chris, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you very much. We hope to get a chance to talk to you again.
Okay, anytime, John.
Chris Perkins covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Some news down there tonight with the report that Brady Quinn is ready to sign and perhaps challenge for the backup quarterback job behind Ryan Tannehill. And, of course, the news coming out over the last few weeks about the suspensions, Deion Jordan and Rashad Jones, very significant suspensions on the defensive side of the ball for Miami. They are here Sunday, September 14th, week two of the season, first home game. So circle that on your calendar.